glad to have Rich and Jeff with us here. Pretty busty king sometimes. Last month and a half, I think it's almost been three times in a month and a half or 2 months.
What's the secret?
Come on up and share whatever you have in your heart to share.
Always thank you, really, for being here, for just standing for the Lord, continue to communicate the truth, rejoice in the Lord. There was that one song we sang, Come and Worship, you know, I don't know if this is part of the original, but there was a second verse tacked onto that at one point. And it says, as we all stand open-faced now and behold Him in His splendor, we are transformed by His Spirit from glory into glory. Mm. And there's nothing better. That's right. What the Lord is doing. Yeah. And, you know, you're becoming what He's called you to be. Mm-hmm. And so just continue to worship Him. Hey, everything else is getting darker. There's only one thing that's being built up. It's the kingdom of God. It's a glorious thing. It's a privilege to be in it. Mm-hmm. To be able to see it. To be able to talk about it. And reach for it. And receive it. So, you know, keep building each other up. And praying for each other. I'm so blessed to be able to come here and find, hey, there's more people. Like, you know, it's great. It's great. We need each other. So, you're a blessing, really. Thank you.
Lord, your keeping hand upon our life.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, acknowledge, Lord, that we have been kept by the power of God.
Amen.
Amen.
And that, Lord, through all that we have passed through in life, that, Lord, it has been you who've been able to preserve, Lord, the seed that you have put within us.
Yes, sir.
And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you tonight.
Hallelujah.
We just ask, Lord, as we find something in your word tonight that it might, Lord, strike a chord, Lord, in our heart.
Yes.
And that, Lord, as we perhaps see ourselves, Lord, we'll also see you.
Yes, for God. Mm-hmm.
And that your Spirit, Lord, tonight will put a fresh deposit, Lord, within all of us.
Yes, for God.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Magnify your name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Lord.
Jesus.
Yes, Father.
I'm
going to look at something tonight. Of an experience that one of the prophets had that I think in some ways, I'm sure, some of us maybe are there tonight or know exactly what he's talking about. And that's in the book of Habakkuk. So you start in Matthew and start going backwards. Few pages, you'll get to him.
I'll find him, yeah.
Five books back from Matthew. And this little book is in some ways different from some of the other prophets and the other prophetic writings, in that it does seem to concentrate more upon this man and his dealings, life's dealing in him, the Lord's dealing in him, and how that impacted him, how it affected him, what it did to him. And yet, through that, through the process, and through the experience that the Lord is taking him through, he definitely comes out the other side seeing something very different. He sees something very, very different from how the book starts out, what he sees, what his experience presently had been. And it seems as though it's an experience that had been a lingering experience. And so if we go to chapter 1 of this book here, it says, "The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Even cry unto thee of violence and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention." And here is this situation that the prophet finds himself in. You know, one thing about the scriptures, and something about us, I think it's compounded because of our culture being Americans. You know, Americans love to win. You know, I mean, that's just who we are. We like to be on the winning team. We like things to be going smooth and great. We like the economy up here, not down here. You know, that's just our culture, man. That's what has shaped us and made us who we are. We always want to not only have things going wonderfully in the natural, but we want to also think that we're a part of some great revival. That's just part of, again, the way of our mindset here. But if you look at history honestly, there were great periods that men grew up in and men lived in their generation, where there was nothing. Where there was nothing. There was no revival. There was no real spiritual excitement that was going on. There was no real prosperity. There was no real blessing, as it were. And yet it was during those times that God still had a testimony.
Yes.
And Habakkuk finds himself in one of those kinds of times. He's living in the land of Judah. They've already lived through seeing the northern kingdoms go into captivity.
Right.
They've already seen what they thought was impossible. Who would have ever thought that God could divide this once great nation? And not just divide them, but who would have thought that he would have scattered the majority of them? And so he's living in this background. And there is a cry that is coming from this man for change. There's a real cry and a real burden for his people that something changed. Things don't stay this way. And he finds himself
so consumed with this that he expresses it, and he continues to express it to the Lord. But to his dismay, there seems to be just silence. To his dismay, he comes to the conclusion, how long am I going to keep doing this? How long am I going to keep crying and you're not going to hear? And you're not only not hearing, but it seems as though you're not going to save. You're not going to do anything about the situation. And he's pouring out his heart because of this sense of frustration and wondering and bewilderment. This is the God that saves.
Right.
This is the God who majors in salvation. Salvation belongs to our God, and yet he's not saving. He's not righting the wrong. He's not doing what I know only he can do. Habakkuk isn't trying to do this on his own. He's not trying to fix the situation. He's not trying to bring about some human, change of course or some human band-aid of any kind. He recognizes that what is going on, that God must intervene. And so he understands that he's going to the right person, obviously. And yet in this cry that is within him, and there seems to be this silence on God's part, there seems to be this indifference upon God, and it doesn't matter how intense the cry is, it doesn't matter that this burden won't leave him, that it doesn't shake him, that he can't stop thinking about it, he can't stop interceding upon it, he can't stop crying out, that God, you must come and change this situation. And all of us, I think, can identify with this man. Whether on a large scale, he's carrying the burden of the nation, of all of the people. And that may not be where you're at tonight. But all of us have something that we're facing. That we understand that, God, you have got to do something. And we continue to cry to him. And we continue to cry, and we continue to look to him, and to come to him, and to ask of him, and to inquire of him. And yet there seems to be this continual sense that he's not even hearing. Mm-hmm. There doesn't even seem to be any indication that he's even listening. Because nothing has changed. In fact, in Habakkuk's eyes, things are getting worse. The situation is getting worse. And one of the things, of the lessons of this little book, is what started the whole Great Reformation? It's faith. Yeah. Faith.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord.
And the need to guard our hearts.
Yes.
When it seems as though God is not hearing, God is not acting, God is not changing, that we don't come to the point where we just begin to say, well, if you don't care about it, why should I?
Right.
Amen. I mean, if you don't care enough about this situation to do something about it, why should I care anymore?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Why should I keep being burdened with this? Why should I keep caring about this situation? However small or however great, however pressing, whatever it is in your life that you're facing. And that becomes the real place of battle, isn't it? That becomes the real crisis point. That becomes more of a crisis than the actual experience that you're going through. That is the real crisis. That point where all that is in you and the voice of the accuser and the enemy wants you to begin to believe that if God doesn't care enough to change the situation, if God isn't going to change what I'm going through, what the nation is going through, what the church is going through, what my family is going through, what my neighbor is going through, what I'm going through, then why should I continue with this? That's where he's at.
Yeah. He's got a great name, though. His name means he that embraces.
And even though this opening verse here, verse 2, seems so strong, language that he's using, when you think of, obviously, an embrace, when you think of that, it obviously clearly speaks of closeness.
Right.
I can't embrace John C. from here. Right? I can't embrace you from up here. No, I can't do that. He who embraces must be, there must be a closeness. There must be a drawing near to someone for you to bear this kind of a name. And that's what we were hearing earlier, wasn't it?
Right.
Come near. Approach me. And Habakkuk drew so near. Habakkuk embraced so intimately that he is able to speak this way to his God. And to truly pour out his heart in this fashion. How long?
Yeah.
How long, O God? How long are you going to just be silent? The honesty. And Habakkuk gives us here exactly what the new covenant reveals to us. The promise of the new covenant is that we are to come boldly to the throne of grace. A great word, isn't it?
Amen.
We're to come with open face. We're to come with freedom of speech. And Habakkuk is doing exactly that. He is drawn so close and he has so embraced his God that he is coming with freedom of speech. He is so aware of who his God is and the nature of his God that he is able to embrace this God in such a way. It kind of reminds me of Jacob wrestling with God. You know, a wrestling match, again, is something you can't do from across the room.
Right.
You wrestle with somebody, you are embracing that person, aren't you? You are close, you are intimate, you're intertwined with this other person. Party. And that's exactly what Habakkuk is doing. That's exactly what the new covenant has afforded to us. And what I love about let me take a right turn and we'll get on the road again here a minute. What I love about this last season we were in, the Christmas season, the day of the incarnation that we celebrate, and the great message, heaven comes and it appears to these shepherds. You know, these men who, during that time frame, even though the history of Israel was filled with wonderful in their past, Moses and David and all of the great leaders, the patriarchs, they were all shepherds. But by the time the culture had reached its point in that day, the shepherds were despised men. They weren't held in high esteem anymore. The religious community turned their nose down upon them because they were considered an unclean job. That meant they couldn't go to the temple. That meant they couldn't approach God. That meant they were cut off from fellowship. So these guys were looked down upon. They wouldn't even be included. You could not call a shepherd to testify as a witness in anything. But it was to those, that kind of a people, that God came and brought this great message. And the message was this: you're going to go. Go, there's a Savior that's been born, and go. And you're going to find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, and he's going to be lying in the manger. And the shepherds respond one to another once the angels leave, and they said, well, let's go see what the Lord has revealed to us. And what's the message of the manger? What was God really saying? What was that sign? It's a sign to them, isn't it? You're going to see a sign. And what was the sign saying? The sign was saying simply this: God had come.
Right.
And we all know the waters are experiencing that right now. When there is a child that is born, that child is approachable. Male, female, young, old, rich, poor, that child makes no distinction, does it?
Hallelujah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The child makes no distinction. The child is approachable. Mm-hmm. Anyone can draw near.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that right?
That's right.
We've all been around babies. Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
It isn't until later that the babies start shunning people. But the babe in the manger, the babe in the bassinet, right? That one message, that baby is saying, I am approachable. Come to me.
Hallelujah.
Draw near to me. That baby makes no distinction of anyone that walks into that room. That's what the message was.
Thank you, Lord.
That's what God was saying. I've come. And because I've come, you come.
There you go.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You come and you draw near, Lord. Even the shepherds, the most unlikely of people. You draw near to me. Hallelujah. That's what Habakkuk is doing. This situation that he finds himself in, this pressure of life, this condition that seems to just have been growing worse. It's not getting better. And it's in those times where we must exercise what one of the messages of the book is: faith. Faith. And continue this embrace of our God.
Yes.
Continue this approach of our God. Continue this cry that is within our heart. And not allow the enemy to steal or to break that embrace with him.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Don't allow the accusations, and don't allow even what seems to be God's inactivity, what seems to be God's indifference. Because God does say, he says, Habakkuk, he says, I'm going to do a work in your days that you'll not believe, though we told you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord.
And as he begins to uncover this work, it clearly is a work that Habakkuk would not have believed or would not even have wanted.
Right.
But can we continue to cry? Can we continue to embrace? Even when God may not give the answer that we seem to be fitting for the situation. How often do we come and not only voice our burden and release our hearts, but also, perhaps in a way that we may not fully be persuaded of, but come to the Lord telling Him how the situation should be remedied.
Right.
Lord, we know that only You can save, but this is how You should do it. Lord, I know You only are able to change this situation, but this is how You should do it. And this is what I'm holding out for. But God says, yes, I'm going to do something. I'm going to remedy. I'm going to save. I'm going to move in this situation. But it isn't going to be how you think. And when that answer comes, see, we cannot only just not let go as we continue to cry out, but when He begins to, if you will, reveal a plan in a very different way, we must still embrace.
There you go.
Yes. We can't let go, even at that time. And what's amazing about this progression that Habakkuk is working through, we're seeing a man, God's man in his day, we're seeing him working through this process of not understanding. This process of not understanding why God seems to be acting in a way that's contrary to what I know Him to be. God, the scripture reveals to me what You're like and what I've seen in Your Son, how He's revealed You. But yet in this situation, You don't seem to be acting like Yourself. And is it in those times of darkness, and in those times of questioning, in those times of uncertainty, in those times where it seems as though God is deaf and indifferent, that He's doing something.
Yes.
He is doing something.
Yes.
He's doing something, and He is answering the real cry that is in your heart.
Hallelujah.
That real cry that all of us, oh Lord, make me like You. Mm-hmm. And through this process, He may not be answering what we think is important right now, but He is answering. He may not be changing the situation that right now seems to be the real issue, the real need, the real crisis. But He is answering. He's answering something. And a different cry. Lord, use me. Lord, let me be like Your Son. Lord,
yes,
reveal Your glory through
us, Lord Jesus.
Yes, O God.
Lord, let me be your servant.
Yes, Lord.
And in times like that, that's what he's answering. That's what he's answering. That's what he's producing. He's producing a life of faith. Faith in God. Hallelujah.
Yes, God.
He's producing the kind of life that embraces, that clings, that is indeed living now by faith and not by what may or may not happen. What may change, what may not change. But he's bringing us into a life with him.
Thank you, Father.
Yes,
and what's wonderful about this name, he that embraces, is that by the time you get to the end of the book, you begin to find that Habakkuk understands that it is God who embraces.
Thank you, Lord.
It is he who embraces.
Thank you, Lord.
And because he is the one that is embracing, Habakkuk ends with that great song.
Mm-hmm.
Yet I will rejoice.
Mm-hmm.
Yet I will joy in the God of my salvation.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, everything changes. And Habakkuk realizes that it isn't anymore just a matter of changing the present crises. He understands that. He understands that there's something more valuable than the present crises being changed. Because he says it doesn't matter if the fig tree fails. It doesn't matter if the crops don't produce anything. It doesn't matter if all the life of this earth fails me. That all that the earth produces, that if it fails me, if it doesn't produce, that doesn't change my relationship and my understanding of the one who is embracing me.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And that's exactly what God works within us. That it is him. And he really is all that matters.
Thank you, Father.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord. Yes. Thank you.
We sing it. We sing it. But the outworking of that in our life, where it becomes more than just a statement, but the reality that it really is him, is all that matters.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. And that's exactly what the woman in the Song of Solomon finds out. She says that one statement, he said that his left hand is under my head.
Mm-hmm.
What was it?
His right hand doesn't embrace me.
His right hand doesn't embrace me. She understands that, doesn't she?
Thank you, Lord.
That all that she experiences, she finally releases this expression. Him that's embracing me.
if his left hand is under my head? Then that means my head is where?
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Exactly. He's drawn us and embraced us to reveal his heart for us. And when you truly begin to hear his heart for you, then like Habakkuk, you can say, nothing else matters.
Yes.
Because I can joy and rejoice in him.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yes.
And God is looking for this today.
Yes, he is.
Absolutely.
He's looking for this today. And he uses his prophet. This is the message. This is the message. This simple message. That through the dealing and the pain and all that Habakkuk is experiencing, this inner turmoil and questioning and this wrestling with God, and I can't let him go, and I'm going to keep crying, and all of this, it gets him to the point where he sees his God.
Thank you, Father.
He sees his God.
Thank you, Lord.
And that's the message of this book.
Thank you.
That's the message. I'm going to do something about it. I'm sending the Chaldeans. You think it's bad now? You think you're having a hard time now? The Chaldeans are coming. Now the Assyrians were in power.
Right.
They were beginning to arise, but still they weren't a real threat at that point. God says, I'm going to do something that you won't even believe. And what he does, we know what he does. He utterly destroys Jerusalem.
Yeah.
He brings a pain like no other pain. Habakkuk thinks he's in pain now. But my message for my people, because of what's coming, because of what is on the horizon, because of this great invasion that is coming, because of this judgment that is coming, my message for my people is that they know that I am he who embraces.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And if they know that, it won't matter what happens.
Amen.
They will be a people who will live by faith. Hallelujah.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
And that's the simple message of this book. That's the simple message that God has. This is what will keep my people. That they not only embrace, but in their embracing, they come to know the one who embraces.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Thanks, Lord.
And I think God wants us to see him like that tonight. He wants us to understand that it is him. It is him that wants to draw you even closer than you presently are. It's him. He has initiated this pain, this situation, this crisis, whatever it is that started this cry within you. Whatever he used,
And for each of us, our situations are different. But for each of us, there's something that God uses that creates a cry within you.
Yes.
That creates this cry for change, this cry that you come to God, this cry of acknowledging your need, this cry that God, you must intervene, God, you must save, God, you must do something about the situation. Whatever it is, He allowed that to create a cry within you.
Yes.
And not only to create a cry within you, but to ultimately lead you to Himself, where you will see Him.
Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you, Father. Mm. And oh, may God tonight.
When you fit not, all you can do is go up.
There you go. Yeah, well, the scriptures tell us. I love the psalm that says, underneath are the everlasting arms. So it doesn't matter how low you go, underneath are
right.
Some arms.
Amen.
underneath the bottom are the everlasting arms.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
That's a great song.
Yeah.
So remember that. Underneath are the everlasting arms.
That's right.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Underneath is He.
Amen.
One of the things that made it so hard for him was that the thing that provoked this cry was a revelation of the heart of God to him. The thing that provoked him was that he saw what God wanted. That's what he was crying for.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a God that doesn't seem to be acting like himself for the very thing that he wants.
Yes.
And that's what he wasn't asking for a Rolls Royce in these prayers. This was for the burden and cry of God. He saw into God's heart. Lord, this is what you want. This is what you're after. Why are you acting this way? I didn't come here because it was my idea. This was your idea. Now do something. That's what he was struggling with.
Yes.
Yes.
Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. What he's saying. That's the remedy here.
Yes.
Your kingdom. That's what you asked us to pray.
Yeah.
That's what you told us to seek, your kingdom. You told us to pray about
yes.
your will being accomplished in the earth. This was your idea.
Yes, Lord. And somebody tears it apart.
Yes. May God do something in our heart tonight to strengthen. Strengthen your embrace.
Yes.
Not only to strengthen your embrace,
mm-hmm.
but that you could really see that He is embracing you.
Mm. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
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 Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father.
And He wants to show Himself. He wants you to know, I am God. Come, draw near, pour out your heart before me.
Yes. Yes.
Glory to your name.
Thank you, Lord.
Father.
Hallelujah.
We magnify your name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah,
Lord.
Glory, glory to your name.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Magnify your holy name, Lord Jesus.
Yes, O God.
Glory, glory to the Lamb of God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, Lord.
Magnify your name, Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Magnify your holy name.
Yes.
Glory, glory to the Lamb of God.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Beginning to truly know the hand of thy God that has been upon thee. And all of the questions, that at times have left so undone. And many times at the point of just saying that this is it. This is it. And looking for some door, looking for some opportunity to flee, to run. But you're finding that my presence is something that you can never flee from. For I shall indeed do a work for thee and do a work in thee and ultimately a work through thee, whereby your voice will surely testify, my God is good. The Lord, He is good.
Amen.
And know, my son, that not thine heart in any way carry a weight that it was never meant to carry. A weight that would question whether you are now being repaid for the sins of thy youth. But let thine heart indeed and instead look upon the graciousness of thy God and see in Him one who indeed has paid it all. That there is no longer a penalty for thy sin.
Thank you, Lord.
There is no longer a need for thee to look at what once was. But my son, know that I am indeed for thee.
Thank you, Lord.
I am for thee. I am not against thee. And as thy heart shall be persuaded of this, there shall come a flood of light. A flood that shall begin to rush in upon thee in a fresh way. That shall cause hope and faith to be pillars of thy house, and the foundation stones that shall not be shaken in the days to come.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
For I shall surely
make myself known as the God that is with thee.
Yes, God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Magnify your name, Lord.
Hallelujah,
Lord. God.
Bless your Lord, Lord. God, glorify your name.
Magnify your name,
Lord. Glorify your name.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, God.
Praise you, Lord.
Oh, hallelujah. Glory, glory to your holy name.
Blessed be your name, Father.
Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. For the Lord shall begin to open the eyes of thy understanding. And my word shall indeed be like fresh honey, which shall be upon thy lips, and the sweetness of my word shall find a place within thy heart in this hour, my son. And as thou shalt delight in my word, and as thou shalt delight in my word, and in the knowledge of my word, I shall begin to break it, even as I broke it into the hands of the disciples.
Thank you, Lord.
That there shall be a portion that shall not only sustain you, but shall sustain others that I shall bring into thy path. And what at this time seems so small and seems insignificant to thee in thine understanding, if thou wilt bring it to the hands of the Master, if thou wilt say, oh Lord, take this that seems so small and insignificant, take it and break it, and you will find that I will break my word in thine hand. And you shall distribute, and you shall eat of that which I have blessed. The bread that I myself have blessed.
Thank you, Lord.
And it shall sustain thee. It shall feed thee. It shall enlighten thee. It shall embolden thee. And thou shalt be a man of the word. And bread shall be thy portion, my son.
Thank you, Lord.
And as thou shalt humbly come and give that which thou hast, see if I shall not increase it. Increase it and multiply it and bring about a fullness of those that you shall share my word with.
Thank you, Lord.
For my hand is upon thee for good, my son, and I shall use thee as one that shall break the word of life. I shall use thee and instruct thee in my word, for I have put a hunger, and many times you have opened the book. You have said, oh, Lord, show me what is here, Lord. Show me. I don't see, Lord. Help me to understand. The Lord has seen that there is a true, sincere desire that you would be one who would honor my word. Because of that, light shall break in upon thee, and I shall instruct thee. And I shall illumine thee. And I shall enable thee. And I shall indeed place within thy hand that which I myself have blessed and broken.
Thank you, Lord.
Let thine heart see to it that you remain in that sense of need before thy God. And even though I shall use thee and illumine in the days to come, never forget that it was my hands that blessed. Never forget, never receive any glory, but acknowledge it was God who blessed this bread. It was God who placed in my trust the living bread that comes from heaven. And if thou wilt be faithful to merely hand out, as thou wilt be faithful to merely share, thou shalt find you will have an abundance in reserve for those days that are ahead. And I shall sustain thee and keep thee and use thee
in a way that shall bring a great blessing and illumination to many lives in the days of God.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, Lord, we thank you. Hallelujah, Lord. We magnify your holy name, O God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. We thank you, O Lord. Blessed be your holy name, O God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. Oh, we magnify your holy name, O God. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, O God. We thank you, O God. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Worthy, worthy, O God.
Yes, God. Thank you.
Worthy, worthy. Lord, hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. Wasn't it David who had the testimony of fighting in secret with the lion and the bear?
Amen.
The personal battles that David didn't run from. The personal battles that David faced and got great victory over. That enabled him to come into the forefront in a time of great need in the lives of others. And the Lord shall use thee, my daughter, because there have indeed been bears and lions that you have been willing to face, that have come in the secret place outside of the eyes of many, that none have seen the assault and the attack of the enemy to devour and to divide and to scatter. But thou hast stood thy ground and declared, the Lord is on my side. And because the Lord has brought thee through some personal times of great difficulty and great battles, thou shalt be able to stand with others and with a word of faith that others will begin to experience the victory of He who is the Lord of hosts, of He who is jealous for the house of God. And I shall indeed open thy mouth and use thee for the benefit of others in the days to come.
Thank you.
Hallelujah, Lord. We magnify your name, O God.
Thank you, Lord.
Worthy, Lord. Worthy. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you tonight, O God. We bless your holy name, Lord Jesus. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank
you,
O God. Name.
Yes.
Thank you for your presence,
God. Thank you, O God.
Thank you to your ministering, God.
Hallelujah, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, God.
Blessed be your holy name, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, God.
Glory, glory to your name, O God. Hallelujah. Thank you, O God.
Thank you, Lord.
For yourselves righteousness. And break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord before he comes and showers righteousness on all.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Read the scripture in Psalms 23. really, it's, I think even Matt touched on it in our prayer tonight, it's our inheritance that we, a better covenant by which we draw near to God. Really, it's the psalm here, Psalms 23. I was reading that scripture last night, you know, Paul was writing about in 2 Corinthians about a comfort he's received. He's in that chapter of Corinthians, he's talking about going through troubles in hard times.
Mm-hmm.
Let's all face it. You know, I was thinking, that's kind of silly, but I was thinking if there was a line, two lines, and one was good times, get to know Jesus, and sufferings, get to know Jesus, I know which line I would go to. But really, in truth, we know there's one man that said, I'll go to the suffering line. There was one man that did that, right? That's the Lord Jesus.
Right.
But really, I just want to end the scripture here in Psalms, because David was a man just like us. You know, he went through troubles and hard times. We even know the story about his own flesh and blood son. Was like, I'm going to take your life. But they're all fine. And he was a man that went through just really hard times. But the scripture here in Psalm 23, really, you know, we're in the new covenant now, right? The door of heaven is really open for our life by the blood of Jesus.
Right.
Not by our good deeds, but by the blood of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
That should be our anticipation. That should be our expectation. We should really accept nothing less than we embrace God. We sense God's embrace in our lives, friendship. No matter where we are. You know, even obviously in the Psalm 23, I'll just read through it here. It's a really beautiful psalm. We need to hold on to these promises in our own walk. We hang on to the promises of God, right? Without vision, my people perish. There's a promise, there's an expectation we have. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. And he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Then he goes, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Hallelujah. God is with us, isn't he?
Right.
Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Hallelujah. This is really a beautiful verse here. It says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Hallelujah. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. I love this last verse. It says, and it's really true of all our lives as Christians, as followers of Christ. He goes,
yep.
Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that's what we have as believers in Christ, is that no matter what's going on, goodness is following my life. I don't care. I got troubles in my life, but you know what? Goodness is following my life too.
Right.
He says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Although I didn't see you pray for my sister over here, Father.
Yes, God.
Lord, she shared, I heard her statement, Lord, about when you've gone so low, one way you can go is up. Lord, I just pray, Lord, for all the promises and all the promises of the Old Testament and the New Covenant, yes and amen, in Christ Jesus. So Lord, I just pray for her, Lord. The Lord, she's just aware of your great love for her life and care. Lord, even as she showed your care and love for the man that came to the door that was cold. Lord, she went back to something right.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we pray, Lord, for that same demonstration, Lord,
yes,
your
God.
Love for her, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Lord, you every need that she has, Lord,
minister,
you're embracing
Lord.
Her. And meeting those needs, you're wrapping this scarf around.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Your daughter. Thank you, Lord. That relieves your saints. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, for her daughter and grandson. Lord, you said, cast all our cares on you, for you care for us. Oh, God, we put them into your hands again tonight, Father. Oh, Lord, we put them into your hands. So we ask, Lord, for your delivering hand. Lord, the needs that are there, though it be spiritual, physical, Lord, you're the God of all flesh. So, Lord, we ask, Lord, you touch their lives tonight, Father.
Yes,
and, Lord, we ask for our sister, Lord, for the peace that passes understanding. Hallelujah. There's a peace that passes understanding and circumstances. Lord, we ask that, Lord, that be her portion. Lord, her portion, Lord, of peace.
Yes, God.
Lord, that no matter what's going on, I can trust in Jesus. Lord, we ask, Lord, for your portion of peace to our sister, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, so thank you.
Well, I pray, Lord, just for all of us, Lord, myself, Lord.
Yeah.
We're going through the valley of the shadow of death.
Right.
Turn to you.
Yes.
Oh, God, we be a people that learn from these stories in Scripture, Lord. We turn to you.
Valley of tears.
Yes, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Shout of the saints, and out of the eight.
Lord, thank you for your great love for our lives.
Yes.
So thank you for Jesus, Father.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.